Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Kemne Parish Church. Welcome to all who are here in the sanctuary, to all who are watching our streaming service online or on catch-up service during the week. We're so glad that you are with us today. Just a few intimations to share at the start of our time together. First of all, as we know, this last Friday in the Kirk Center, we had a Burns night. And I'd just like to say a huge thank you to our social committee for all of their extraordinary hard work making the event come together. And thank you to all who took the time to attend this event as well. Speaking only for myself, I had a great time. And I hope the same is true for those who are there as well. And we're already looking forward to the next one. Down the road. We'll take a wee break first. A reminder that on the 20th of February, we'll have our next meeting of the men's group in the church center. The speaker for that evening will be Ruth Ogilvy from Cyrenians. So all interested men, please do come along and hear about the vital work of the Cyrenians, all that they do. If you're interested, please speak to Leslie Mackay to book your place. Again, that's for 20th of February. Just a reminder that we have new primary points of contact for our church prayer chain. The contact for Nell and Leslie and for Joyce and Jeff are listed on the intimations. A reminder as well that the new rota for Littlewood Court for members of our church coming along on Sundays to watch service as it live streams with them at Littlewood Court, that is now available for pickup. And a huge thank you to all who have volunteered to take part in that very important ministry. It's so crucial for us to feel connected together as a church family, and KKAA is one chief way through which we're able to accomplish that. A reminder that Winnowers, the Tuesday morning discussion group that I lead about the coming text for the Sunday, will be off for the next couple of weeks. On Tuesday, 30th of January and 6th of February, we will not meet, but we'll resume on the 13th of February. And now I'd ask Mrs. Rita Custer to come forward to share another intimation.
Thank you. Good morning. You'll be aware that under your seats are Bibles. You may also be aware that a lot of those are in a pretty poor state of repair. Not all of them, but quite a lot of them. My question this morning is, amongst your talents, is there a talent for bookmending? Does one of your friends, maybe not in the church, have a talent for bookmending? Would you like to join with some friends and learn that talent? Seriously, a lot of the books are in a very bad state, and I'm well aware that mending books is more than a two-handed job. So I'm suggesting that couples, perhaps, maybe small groups get together. But seriously, they do need some serious looking at. So if anybody does feel that they have that skill or would like to learn how to mend books, please have a word with me and we can arrange for the practicalities to happen. Thank you very much. If you can't get hold of me, get through to the church office and Stuart will get hold of me instead. Details of that are on the back of the Kirk News. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Rita. Are there any other intimations to share with our church family? Well, with those shared, let us worship God through the gift of music by singing our first song of praise together, O Church Arise. And during the singing of this song, your offering for God's continued work here in Kemne and beyond will be uplifted.
Oh, Let us bring our prayers of thanksgiving to God. Let us pray together. Lord, we are indeed here to worship you, our God and our King. You alone are God, the author and sustainer of all creation and all life. You alone are holy and worthy to receive all honour and glory and praise. Lord, we thank you that we are here because of your great love. We thank you that you have redeemed us from death, from our sin. And as we come to communion later on in the service, we are reminded of the special presence of Jesus, our Saviour. Remember that in your sacrifice, your death on the cross, and in your resurrection, you have gained victory over sin and death. And Lord, we remember that we share in the hope of your resurrection, that we will one day be transformed to be like you. And we thank you for the promised return, when you will restore and redeem all things. You will redeem all of creation, and you will create new heavens and a new earth, the home of righteousness. And you will dwell in our midst, and we will see you face to face. We praise you for this wonderful gift, this wonderful hope that you have for us. And Lord, as we worship you together, we thank you for your forgiveness. We thank you for restoring us to have a relationship with you and with one another. We thank you that we are your church, your body. And Lord, as we worship you, we pray that you will minister to us in all our needs, in all our fears, in all our hopes, and in all our joys. That, Lord, we will know you with us. And Lord, may we minister to one another as well. May we show your love for each other, and may we grow together as your people. We thank you, Lord, for the way that you have given us so much. We thank you for giving us forgiveness, and we ask for forgiveness for all the things where we've done wrong this week, for when we fail to act, or when we've done things we shouldn't have done. Lord, thank you that we can also forgive those around us. And Lord, that you want us to be together and united in love. Thank you also for all the material goods that you give us. And we thank you for being able to bring our offerings to you. And we ask that you will use them to glorify your name and to extend your kingdom here on earth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We continue in worship together now with singing our next hymn of praise, Take My Life, Lord, Let It Be.
Thank you.
invite our children to come down and have a seat with me up front if they would like. Come on down for the children's time. Lisa, want to come down? Annabelle? Want to have a seat, buddy? You got your minion with you?
It's my teddy.
It's your teddy. Okay. Well, you're mommy and daddy's minion, aren't you? Yes, indeed. Joshua got it. Oh, yes. You got matching teddies. Yes. Yeah. Oh, thank you very much. You want to hold on?
It's
good. Hi, Samuel. Hi, Daniel. How are you two doing?
Good.
Good. Oh, they answered exactly the same time. They sound exactly alike. That's amazing. Well, I have a question for you this morning. Have you ever had to do any kind of chores in your house? Yeah? You ever need to do any kind of chores? Any kind of thing like make your bed or clean up your room? Clean up your toys when you're done playing with them? Yeah? Samuel, you've had to? Daniel, how about you? Have you had to do kinds of chores? Yeah? What kind of chores, Samuel, do you have to do? Help set the table. That's very important so you can actually enjoy your food. That's right. Well, when I was your age, I had to do lots of different chores to help my parents out around the house. But I'll tell you a secret. I didn't always enjoy doing my chores. And you know what chore I liked the least? I liked yard work the least, working in the garden, raking up leaves and those kinds of things. I found that to be a very cumbersome chore. And one time, I wasn't doing a very good job at it at all. I was doing a terrible job raking up the leaves, and my parents rightfully got upset with me. And when they weren't looking, I thought, I'll show them, and I ran away from home. Yes, indeed. I dropped my rake and just walked out the back garden and started walking and went a few blocks down to a neighboring field. And at first, they had no idea where I was. And I thought it was a grand plan at first that I just ran away. This will show them, I thought. But you know what? It felt like I was out there the whole day, but it's probably more like an hour or so. It's funny how time can change when you are doing something you're not supposed to be doing. And after a while, I started to get scared and worried because they had no idea where I was. And so I thought about it and I thought, what should I do? I've run away from home. What should I do next? So I thought and I thought about it. And eventually I decided to find some courage and I walked back home. And I was so nervous that whole walk back home. I was so scared of what my parents were going to say or do. But I walked back in the front door, and my mom was there, and the first thing she did, what do you think she did when she saw me? What do you think? Any guesses? Yeah? Do you think she yelled?
Yeah.
Or do you think she gave me a great big hug? What do you think it was? Annabelle, what do you... Gave me a great big hug. That's right. That's the first thing that she did. She welcomed me back home and told me how much she loved me and how sorry she was for getting upset. And then, of course, came that, don't you ever do that again after that. Well, the last couple weeks here in church, we've been dealing with a story in the Bible that's all about someone who ran away, a fellow named Onesimus. That's an unusual name. Onesimus was a servant of a fellow named Philemon. And one day he decided to run away from Philemon. And the story we've been reading about is all about Onesimus coming back to Philemon. And just like I was scared to come back to my mom and dad, I bet Onesimus was scared to come back to Philemon, to admit that he was wrong for running away. But we know that Philemon, when he saw Onesimus, he received him back. He gave him a great big hug and said, I'm so glad you're back. And he embraced him as a brother and as a friend. And so the lesson, boys and girls, is even when we do something wrong in our lives, and we all make mistakes from time to time, we can always come back to our mommies and our daddies, our aunts, uncles, and our grandparents. But most of all, if we ever feel like we've done something wrong, we can always come back and tell God how sorry we are. And God will always give us a great big hug and welcome us back home. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you that you are so loving towards each of us. Thank you that even when we do something wrong, you always, always welcome us back home. Lord, help us to love you more and more each day, and help us to love our friends and our family the way that you want us to. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now back to your mommies and your daddies now. The story we're hearing today is a story that's all about reconciliation and restoration.
Reading this morning is on page 1200 of the New Testament, reading Philemon 17 to 25. So if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do not wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident in your obedience, I write to you, knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one thing more, prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Lord, bless the readings of his word.
We continue to worship God through song with singing our next hymn of praise, O For a Closer Walk with God. Let us pray. Lord, we do yearn for a closer walk with you. We yearn to know you more and more each day. We pray now that you would help us to come to know you more through the living power of the word that you are speaking to us in Scripture. May the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. You are the true strength and redemption of all who call on you in faith. Amen. Well, we are now in our third and final week of this series in which we're looking at Paul's letter to Philemon. At the start of this series, I suggested perhaps that good things come in small letters as well as small packages. And I hope that's been the case for us as we've journeyed through this text forever, together forever. Ha ha. Doesn't feel like that long. But the first week, we heard these opening words of Paul, this salutation to Philemon, and we heard that these words were all about encouragement. We heard that while we could read these words as perhaps as a form of flattery to Philemon, Paul telling him how much his faith, Philemon's faith, means to other saints scattered throughout the world and the region, but nothing could be further from the truth. This wasn't meant as flattery. Instead of flattering him, he was telling him such things so that Philemon would remember who and what he really was. A disciple of Jesus, who was called to follow Christ's teaching in every dimension of his own life. We also heard that when we read letters such as these, when we read sections of encouragement such as these, we should not be afraid to put our own name into it as if it was addressed to us. So when we read this text of Philemon, we should say that we should imagine that Paul is speaking these words to each of us in our own lives, how much our faith means to other saints. And like Philemon, we should not shy away from this encouragement, but we should seek to live our own lives in ways that point away from ourselves and back to Jesus. We should never, ever underestimate the importance of encouragement in the Christian life. We need to give encouragement to our Christian brothers and sisters. Everyone needs others to tell them how they see God working in their lives. We're often too close to see it in ourselves, or at least to see it accurately. We all have a great capacity for self-deception when it comes to our spiritual lives. And so it's necessary and invaluable to have others help us see how God is working in us. So we can and should be people of godly encouragement. And we should also be ready and willing to receive this encouragement as well. All too often, we treat our walk with Christ as an entirely private affair. But the truth is that God means for each of us to walk the path of faith together with other believers. None of us can be Christians alone, nor should we. In the second week, when we continued on in Philemon, we heard that the chief necessity wasn't for Philemon to simply receive Onesimus back as a servant. It was much more than that. Paul was after much more. Instead, Paul was asking Philemon to receive Onesimus back as a Christian brother, as a spiritual equal. But in order to do so, in order to receive Onesimus back in this way, Philemon had to be willing to forgive Onesimus for how he had wronged him by running away. We've heard that while we know that forgiveness is certainly a central theme of the gospel, we also heard that we have to watch ourselves very carefully when we are asked to forgive, lest we fall into a trap of excusing rather than forgiving. Because excusing tells us that no real harm was meant, thus there is nothing to forgive. But forgiveness, on the other hand, readily acknowledges that one has been wronged. A real infraction has occurred, but the relationship will be restored anyways. Forgiveness is both harder and more healing than excusing. And in this letter, Paul made it quite clear that he was asking Philemon to forgive and not excuse what Onesimus had done. For us, forgiveness can feel like a risky exercise. We wonder things like, what if I forgive this person and he or she hurts me again? But as risky as that can be, Scripture tells us that the true risk we face is not in forgiving, but in refusing to forgive. The greatest harm that we can bring on others and on ourselves is living in ways which deny Christ. And refusing forgiveness, refusing to receive forgiveness, both fall into this camp of denying Christ. God has forgiven each of us so very much. And like Philemon, like Paul, we are forgiven people, like Onesimus as well. And so we must be forgiving because we are forgiven. And this brings us to this Sunday, this third and final week of this series on Philemon. We have heard the third and final section of this short but powerful letter read aloud a few moments ago. And like the first two sections, this third section has much to teach us as well. And so the first week was encouragement. The second week was forgiveness. This third week is all about love. Let's look again at these opening words of this section in verse 17. Paul wrote, "So if," writing to Philemon, "if you consider me your partner, receive Onesimus as you would receive me. If he has wronged you at all or owes you anything, charge it to my account." What's Paul doing here? Why did he write this to Philemon? I think in writing this, Paul was putting himself on the line for Onesimus. Any loss that Philemon had suffered, any inconvenience he experienced because of Onesimus, was going to be covered by who? Paul. Because of this, when Philemon next saw Onesimus with this letter in his hand, he was to receive him as he would receive the apostle himself. To look at it from a slightly different angle, I would suggest that in one very real way, Onesimus is like each one of us. This runaway servant is like each one of us. He broke the rules. He was a transgressor. We can assume that he didn't have the means to repay Philemon for what he had done. In our lives, we too, in of ourselves, we don't have the means to pay God back for the wrong that we have done against him. Because of his actions, Onesimus could have been put to death. This was a typical punishment for a runaway servant, for one who had rebelled against a master. Onesimus is like us in our standing before God. Martin Luther summed up this idea well in a sermon once, saying that we are all the Lord's Onesimi, plural of Onesimus. So we're like Onesimus. In the story, Philemon is like God, in that he is master over Onesimus. And we stand before God in our lives like Onesimus was going to stand before Philemon. Philemon is the one whom Onesimus wronged in running away. He owns Onesimus. He has the authority to inflict punishment upon him, but he is also the one who holds the key of forgiveness and reconciliation and healing. So we are like Onesimus. Philemon is like God, and Paul, who's Paul like? Jesus. Paul pleads before Philemon on behalf of one of his children, just as Jesus does for us. In 1 John it says, "My dear children, if anyone commits a sin, we have a great advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." 1 John 2:2. Paul gives his own life to Philemon as a guarantee that the debts will be paid and the wrongs will be made right. This is exactly what Jesus did in his death for all those who will trust in his name. So this text we have today first deals with the idea of substitution. Paul told Philemon, "When Onesimus returns to you, consider it to be me who is really returning to you. I know full well that Onesimus has done you real wrong. I will never deny the wrong that he has done. But listen to me, Philemon," Paul says, "I've done you no wrong. I know that you would accept me when I return to you. And Onesimus, this runaway servant, is so dear to me that I'm asking you, Philemon, to please accept him the way you would accept me." This really is a picture of what Christ does for those who believe in him. Jesus pleads before the Father, "Father, this one right here is one of my loved ones. I know that he or she has wronged you in many ways, but I plead to you to accept this one as you accept me." That's what Jesus does for us for all of eternity. We often sing a hymn in this church that has the following words: "Because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free. For God the just is satisfied to look on him and pardon me." So in the cross, Jesus became our substitute. This is taught in verses such as 2 Corinthians 5:21, that God the Father made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Jesus took our place, bearing the punishment that we deserved, and we are privileged then to take the place of Jesus, receiving the righteousness that he has. And because of Jesus, God accepts us as his children. So we deal with substitution. We deal with the idea of justification. In verse 18, Paul writes, "If he has wronged you in any way or owes you anything, charge that to my account," he said. He was telling Philemon, if Onesimus took anything from you, any money was gone, transfer the charges to my bank account. If he stole anything, estimate the price of those stolen goods, put it on my tab. If you spent any money, Philemon, in searching for Onesimus, forming a search committee, advertising with posters, putting it in the local news, tell me how much you spent. I want to know. If Onesimus has caused you any stress, has caused you any loss in your business, estimate those costs, put them on my account. I want you to consider Onesimus to be free from any legal, financial, or personal obligation. In whatever way he has wronged you, take it off of him. Put it on me, Paul said. Just let Onesimus go free. Deal with me regarding the repayment of these things. It's exactly what God does in our justification. All of our sins and our failings and our shortcomings, they are a debt that we owe to God. Left to our own devices, this debt can be overwhelming. It is overwhelming. Both Old and New Testament are very clear about the nature of our situation. But Christ rises before the throne of God as our defense, our advocate. He pleads our case by saying, "Father, if they have wronged you in any way or owe you anything, charge it to my account." So it's substitution, justification, and now redemption. In verse 19, Paul said, "I am writing this part of the letter with my own hand. I, Paul, will repay it." Now, we're fairly certain that when Paul wrote letters to churches or to individuals, he often used a scribe to write his letters. We have clues in Paul's letters that after he encountered Christ on the Damascus Road and he was blinded by the glory of God and then restored his sight, that he had trouble seeing, that his eyes gave him physical trouble the rest of his life. So he had a hard time with writing on paper. But in this particular part of the letter, we can imagine the original copy, it would flowed in one hand, and then here in verse 19, the penmanship changed to Paul, and he signed his own name as a guarantee to make payment back to Philemon. He was signing his name like a contract. Paul was going to pay the price. I remember when I bought my first new car in America. Before I was allowed to buy it from the dealership, I had to get my own financial details together. And the bank looked everything over very carefully with a fine-tooth comb. Once they were satisfied that I had my affairs in order, that I could meet the payments, they issued me a cashier's check to purchase the vehicle. In effect, that cashier's check became the guarantee that I had the means to purchase the car. From that point on, now that the bank had signed off on it, if there were any problems with that check or with the funds available, it wasn't my problem anymore. It was now the bank's problem because they were the ones who guaranteed the funds. That's what Paul was saying to Philemon. "I'm giving you a blank check," he said. "I've already signed it. fill it out with the amount that Onesimus owes back to you. I guarantee it for you. I will come up with the funds. If for whatever reason payment can't be made, don't go after Onesimus. Go after me, Paul said. I'm taking full responsibility for these injustices that he has done. I signed my name. That's all there is to it. That's exactly what Jesus did for us on the cross. Upon the cross, Jesus signed the dotted line for our sins. We were held captive, but Jesus has guaranteed the ransom price. In Titus 2:14, Paul said, Christ Jesus gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. And finally, we come to the idea of reconciliation. At this point, we move back into the area of relationships. We look back at verse 16 when Paul wrote of how Philemon would now have Onesimus back forever, no longer as a servant, but more than a servant, as a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you. With these words, Paul was putting forth the idea in Philemon's mind of the reconciliation that Jesus has won. Onesimus was a slave of Philemon. But as we have heard, in coming to faith, he became more than a servant. He became a beloved brother. And friends, this is the great reality of our Christian faith. We have so many labels, so many identities. We create so many distinctions between people in our society. Young, older, male, female, rich, poor, or nationalities or ethnic backgrounds. But the ultimate reality is that there are no distinctions among us. There is no partiality with God. At the cross of Christ, that is where we see that we are all family, that we are all brothers and sisters in Christ. That is what defines us. We need to strive by God's grace, to receive each other as Christ has received us, to encourage each other as Christ encourages us, to forgive each other as Christ has forgiven us, but most of all, to love each other as Christ loves us. There are 1,000 reasons why we should not do such things. But there's one very good reason why we should. And that good reason is Jesus Christ, the only reason that truly matters. So this kind of holistic reconciliation between Onesimus and Philemon, that's the theme of this short letter. Just as Onesimus and Philemon were at odds with each other, so also we were at odds with God. But Christ has called us to be reconciled. And through Christ, we are reconciled to God, the Father, and to each other. So in these short verses, we've heard about encouragement, forgiveness, and love. In other words, in just 25 verses, we've heard the true picture of the gospel, haven't we? May we take this letter to heart. May we read it again and again and let it seep into our lives. May we rejoice in God's redeeming power. And may we live it out in our own lives. Amen. You read through this kind of letter, and it might be tempting sometimes to think that the letter is about the redemption of Onesimus, the servant. But is that really the case? Could it be that it's also even more about the redemption and growth of Philemon? The challenge and call we all face to never, ever be the same again. Thank you. Brothers and sisters in Christ, it is our joy and our privilege to gather together to meet Jesus at this table. Whether we have carried them for days or for years, our Lord is calling us to lay down our burdens, to stop our running away, to come back to Him, to trust in His love. It is here that we receive nourishment for our journey as disciples. It is here together that we receive courage and renewed faith in the gospel. This table does not belong to the Kemnay Church. It does not belong to the Church of Scotland. This table is owned by Jesus. It belongs to Him and to Him alone. And He calls all who will trust in Him to partake of this meal together. So come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you the right to do so, but come because you need the Lord's mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord just a little and would like to love Him more. Come to this table because Jesus loves you and gave Himself fully for you. Come to this table and meet the risen Christ, for we are His body. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Hear now the words of institution. faithfully recorded for us by St. Paul in his first letter to the Corinthian church. Paul wrote, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he also took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes in glory.'" May the Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Eternal God, holy and mighty, it is truly right and our greatest joy to give you our thanks and our praise, to worship you in every place where your glory abides. You lay the foundation of the earth. The heavens and the cosmos are the work of your hands. They shall one day perish, but you shall endure forever. You are always the same, and your time will never come to an end. You have formed each of us in your image. You have called us to be your people. But time and again, we confess that we have turned away from you, leaving sin and death to reign. Still, you loved us and sought us out. In Jesus Christ, your grace defeated death and reopened the way to life eternal. Therefore, we join with all of your people in every time, in every place, saying together, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." With the confidence of those who have been called, claimed, and redeemed by the Lord, we join our voices together in the words that our Lord Jesus taught us. "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Bears our sins away.
This cup is the new covenant sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ, which is shed that the sins of a limitless many might be forgiven. Drink from it, all of you. May the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us now show each other a sign of peace.
Let us come together in prayer, our prayers for the world. As we come together in communion with you, Lord, we confirm our love for you and recognize again the sacrifice you made for us. We are reminded of our Christian values to treat everyone equally, with respect and dignity, sharing with and caring for others. Help us to be forgiving of others and set a good example to all. Every week, the media bombards us with instances of man's inhumanity to man. The number of Rohingya refugees fleeing persecution from Myanmar continues to soar. But now there are fears of heavy rain, which is liable to cause mudslides, destruction of the refugees' flimsy tents, and disease. Please, Lord, help these innocent people from experiencing further fear and misery. Be also with the people of South America, where Venezuelans are experiencing severe shortages in medical supplies and food, and in three states of Brazil, where yellow fever is rife. Help those in authority there to alleviate these problems as soon as possible, and ask for international help if they feel the need. In the last few days in Pakistan, why, Lord, do individuals use underhand ways of defying security and then discharge bombs where innocent civilians are going about their everyday lives? Why do they behave so inhumanely? We despair that such atrocities continue to happen. Encourage the leaders of all countries, sects, faiths, to turn away from aggression, as it just seems to escalate. Guide them to come together, listen to others' opinions, ideas, and values, and use discussion as a means of compromise so that all people can live lives less troubled. Support the people of Liberia who have voted the ex-footballer George Weah as their leader. Help their enthusiasm and optimism strengthen their economy and stabilize their lives. Help them to be a beacon of hope for other troubled nations to want to follow. Dear Lord, at home we pray for those who are suffering illness, affliction, worry, or separation at this time. Fortify them in the knowledge that you are with them and you will guide others to help and support them. We take a few moments to bring these special people's names before you. Dear Lord, be especially with bereaved families at this very sad time for them. support and restore their resilience to face the coming days and years. Be with us all throughout the coming week, and may we work to accommodate everyone without discrimination in any way. Help us to share your goodness with all those around us, recognizing difference and respecting individuality. We praise and honor you, O Lord. Amen.
We now sing our closing hymn of worship, All Creatures of Our God and King.
Thank you.
heard the story of Philemon. We have heard the story of encouragement, forgiveness, love. We have heard the story of Jesus Christ and all that he is doing for us even now. Go forth from this place and live out the gospel in every way. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be upon each of us and upon all who we love this day and forevermore.